Good morning. It's great to see everybody here this morning. Again, I want to especially welcome our brothers and sisters from the Staten Island Ministry. It's great to have you in Brooklyn. I know our kids are looking forward to heading to camp next week. I know your parents are excited. That you're going to have a quiet house for at least a week. Again, if you're visiting with us this morning, welcome to the New York City Church of Christ. I also want to use this opportunity to thank all of us that have given towards special contribution. The contribution goes on till the end of this month. And so this year we did not give a goal to anyone. We wanted this to be a free will giving. And so the way we are tracking it this year is to make sure that every Christian participates. And so please, if you haven't given yet to special contribution, again, it's not the amount, it's the heart behind the giving that God has always been concerned about. And so I want to encourage you to go ahead and do that before the end of this month. Amen? Let us pray. Our Father who is in heaven, the great and awesome God, the God who was, the God who is, and the God who is to come. Jehovah God Almighty, thank you, God, for coming into this world. Thank you, Father, for dying for our sins. Thank you, Father, for giving us freedom. We are so grateful, Father, for the life that you've given to us. Father, be with me now. Fill me up with your spirit as I preach your word. I pray, Father, that the things that we will talk about this morning and learn will help us to draw closer to you. Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. And we pray all this in his precious name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Beginning in verse 22. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 22. It says, one day, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. This is going to be my text this morning. And you will find the same account I just read in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. On Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. I have titled my lesson this morning, The Miracle on the Lake. The Miracle on the Lake. We're told in the story that they were on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is the largest freshwater lake in Israel. It's about 64 square miles, nearly the size of Washington, D.C. It's a huge body of water. It's also called the Lake of Gennesaret, and sometimes some people call it the Lake of Tiberias back then. It is 13 miles in length and 8 miles across. This was what they were on when the squall came upon the lake. When you and I understand the dimensions of this lake, you will begin to understand why they panicked. Because it wasn't as if, okay, let's just row and let's get to the side. They were in the middle of that thing somewhere. The sea is also known, obviously, by many names, and is referred to by Israelis as the Kinneret. Kinneret. Kinneret is Hebrew for the word violin, because the lake looks like a violin. This is where the storm took place. And we're told that it was Jesus that told them, "Let us go to the other side of the lake." As they went, the Bible tells us that he fell asleep. Jesus was a very busy person. He had a busy ministry. All day long, he'll be preaching and teaching and healing the sick and taking care of people. And so by the time they got onto the boat, he was tired. I can only imagine how tired he was. So much so, he fell asleep, they tell us. The storm came over the lake and over the boat, and he slept right through it. That's amazing to me. Some of you guys, you sleep very well. And you can sleep through anything. Jesus did the same in this story. The disciples realized they were in great danger, like the scriptures tells us, and they went and woke him up. Again, you've heard me say this before. This is the only time in scripture that we read that Jesus was sleeping. And what did the apostles do? They went and woke him up. Now, I don't know about you. When I'm sleeping, I don't like being woken up, especially when I'm in deep sleep. You know that part when you're really enjoying your sleep? And all of a sudden, Sarah will wake me up. "Turn over, you're snoring." And I would turn and I'd just go right back to sleep. But you see, Jesus was in deep sleep and they went and woke him up. They said, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." The account tells us he got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. And so this morning, brothers and sisters, I want to make two quick points. Faith will always be tested. Your faith, my faith, will always be tested. That's just life, and we need to get used to it. Our faith will be tested. And at the end, I'm going to talk also about the fact that God, faith in God will produce results. Faith in God will produce results. Jesus asked them a very important question. He says, "Where is your faith?" Notice, he didn't say they didn't have faith. He says, "Where is your faith at this moment, during this predicament?" And I believe God asks the same question of us even today as Christians. So let's talk about the fact that our faith will be tested. First of all, faith is divine in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We all know this passage. It says, "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." The Greek word is pistis. Pistis. I love the way it says this in the Message version. It says, "This trust in God," talking about faith, "this faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we cannot see." And so Jesus is asking us this morning, where is your faith? Even as you're seated here at church this morning as we worship God together. Brothers and sisters, the trials and tribulations are the storms of life that we are all going to experience from time to time. The faith I have, the faith you have, will be tested. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And that's why every day when I wake up, I got to talk to the Almighty, because I have no idea what kind of news I'm going to get today. I have no idea what kind of day I'm going to have. And so I got to go to him and say, "Father, be with me. Strengthen me. walk with me, guide me. Because I promise you, 9 times out of 10, before the day is over, there's going to be some tests that's going to come your way and my way. And that is why our time with God is so important. Because we are going to be tested. In James chapter 1, verse 2, we're very familiar with this passage also. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I don't know about you. It is hard to feel joy when you are being tested. The apostles were feeling that when they were going through that storm. They were alarmed, they were stressed out, they were terrified. Another account says they went to Jesus and says, don't you care that we drown? When you and I are going through stuff, it's easy to feel God doesn't care. That was the way they were feeling on that lake. Sometimes, you know, we look at our lives. It's hard to make ends meet. And we see people around us, perhaps our neighbors, perhaps people we work with, who do not even believe in God. And it seems that they have no money problems. And you're thinking, Lord, how is this even fair? Here I am, I don't have 2 pennies to my name. And look at this guy that lies about everything. He just bought a brand new car. What's up with that? And here I am, I'm your child. I call upon you every day. I've been asking about my situation for months. And he doesn't, do you really care? It's at that time, God is wanting to know, where is your faith? Are you going to continue to trust your God? Or are you going to give in to fear? You know, during the 17th and 18th centuries, one of the themes of the Puritans was the expression, trial of faith. The whole notion that our faith will be put to trial as we live on this earth. That was how they viewed challenges during their times. Whenever it is they were going through something, they knew, you know what, this was all a trial of faith. That's all it is. And every trial has a beginning, and every trial has an end. And there's also a middle period. It's in that middle period that you and I, that Jesus is asking the question, where is your faith? You see, again, like I've said so many times, it's so easy to believe God. It's so easy to trust God when everything is going great in your life. That's when I'm jumping for joy. That's when I'm excited. But the passage says, you and I need to consider it pure joy when we're going through stuff. Amen? Knowing that God cares about us. Knowing that God hears us and sees us. Brothers and sisters, faith is not a feeling. Faith is not something magical. Faith is not something that you and I can put on autopilot. It's not possible. Faith is an activity that needs to be exercised. Faith is refusing to allow myself to be controlled by the situation that I find myself in. Oh, am I talking to anybody in here? Or is it just, maybe it's just me. Faith is basically deciding not to panic. That, you know what? God has got my back. He knows what is going on. He knows what I'm going through. He knows what you're going through. And all he needs you to do is to hang in there and to keep on trusting him. That's what faith is. Amen? God willing, Sarah and I are going to be heading to Africa in a few weeks. We haven't been back since the pandemic started. And so we're going to go over to Zimbabwe and Kenya to encourage the saints. And They just changed their visa rules. Initially, you could just show up at the airport with an American passport and they would stamp your passport immediately. And so I found out I needed to apply for a visa. Sarah is Kenyan, so she doesn't need one. Zimbabwe, they're going to give it to us at the entrance, and so we're all good on that. And so several weeks ago, I applied at the Kenyan embassy online. I paid the fee, and I kept on checking. They said it takes 5 to 10 business days for the approval. After 10 days, I waited a few more days, still nothing. The thing was telling me, processing. And so I called up the American embassy. And even as I called them up, I'm reading the reviews that, they're notorious for not answering the telephone. And so the phone was just ringing. I just started to pray. And so a lady comes on and says, Kenyan Embassy, Washington, D.C., what can I do for you? I said, I'm so glad I found somebody. I said, I applied for a visa to go to Kenya. My wife and I are heading there in a few weeks, and I've heard nothing back. She goes, the system is down. I said, what does that mean? She says, the system is down. That they are now issuing visas upon arrival. I said, are you sure? She says, yeah. By the way, call back a week before you leave to find out if the system is back up. I said, excuse me. I said, do you mind? Who am I speaking to? And so she told me her name, and I wrote it down. And she says, you know, check back again. And so I hung up. And I kept on checking on the system. The computers are still down. And I remembered. We have a sister in the Nairobi church who works in that building. And so I got her a number. Somebody texted it to me. And then I contacted her. I said, you know what? Her name is Jennifer. I said, Jennifer, I need your help. I said, I'm going to send you all my papers and everything I sent to the embassy. Could you go help me, you know, make sure I get a visa? She says, I got your back. The next thing, she went upstairs. She spoke to somebody in there. I gave her the reference number. They brought up my whatever. And she texted me back saying, it's gone to their boss for approval. They say, we'll be done in about a week. So I said, thank you so much. So I wake up early Friday morning at 4 a.m. And I checked my phone, and she said, it is approved. And so I jumped out of bed. I went to the computer. I paid. And I have a 5-year multiple entry visa into Kenya. Because Jennifer had my back. Now, to you, that may not be a big deal. It is a big deal for me. Guess what? If you don't have a visa, the airline will not carry you. They will not let you get on board from here, from JFK. And so I am so thankful that is totally off my plate now. And so pray for us. We're going to be going to visit them. And on our way back, we're going to stop and see Sarah's mother. She's 89 years old. And we're looking forward to just seeing her and just seeing her family. It's going to be a great, great time. But pray for me. I got so many lessons to prepare, and I've started to prepare them. And so it's a lot of work. It's not a vacation. Okay? Oh, you're going on vacation. No, it's not. I wish it was a vacation. You know, when we show up, our cup is full. By the time we leave, it is empty. Okay? But so please pray for us. What am I saying here? Faith needs to be applied at the place and point of testing. Always. Jesus told the storm to be quiet. Again, I don't know about you, that's amazing. Remember, he's the Lord of creation. He was there with the Holy Spirit when Yahweh said, let there be light. If you and I try to talk to the wind, your family is going to say there's something wrong with you. Okay? But that's what Jesus did right here. He told the wind and the waters to be quiet, and they obeyed him. That's amazing to me. That even nature, waves and water with all that power, when God speaks, nature listens. And here we are as human beings. We have the arrogance to not listen when God speaks to us. When nature would not even disobey him. And so I'm asking us, even as we continue this morning, are you obeying God's word when Jesus speaks? You know, scripture teaches very clearly in so many places that one day you and I are going to stand before God and give an account for this life that he has given to us. We're going to do it individually. It's not going to be, okay, the New York City Church of Christ, come forward. No, no. Those of you from the Brooklyn region, come forward. Oh, no, it doesn't work that way. We are going to stand before God and give an individual account for our lives. For he's going to ask us how we use the talents that he blessed us with and all the resources that he gave to us. Amen? We are going to give an account because this is God speaking to us. When I read my Bible, brothers and sisters, I don't read it for the church. When I study my Bible, I don't study my Bible so that I can preach a message. Every message I preach comes from my personal quiet time. And then I can't wait. Obviously, I've applied those scriptures to myself, and then I can't wait to share it with you. Amen? And so I'm asking you, as you read your Bible every day, are you listening to God? Are you obeying God? Or are you just playing church? That's why scripture tells us that you and I need to walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. One day I am not going to be on this earth. One day you are not going to be on this earth. That is a guarantee. When that time comes, it's the only thing I don't know. You and I don't know the day when we're going to cross over. Amen? But we've got to make sure that while we're on this earth, as we're living this life, as we are making our way, quote unquote, towards our promised land, as we are making our way, quote unquote, towards the other side, that we've got to make sure that throughout this life, as we encounter storms and challenges and trials, we live it by faith. And you've heard me say it again so many times, and I'll say it again this morning. The God that has brought you this far will not abandon you now. Can I get an amen? He will never abandon you. He is not that kind of a God. Scripture says, he who began a good work in you will see it to the day of completion. Amen, church? Amen. And so, let's not question God. Let's continue to obey God as we make our way towards him. Amen? In Psalm 46, let's talk very quickly about faith in God will produce results. Faith in God will produce results. In Psalm 46, it says, God is my refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake, with their surging. The psalmist is saying, you know, God is my refuge and my strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Brothers and sisters, because God is my ever-present help in trouble, I refuse to be afraid. Notice, it doesn't say, you know, when we're in problems and when we're going through some hard times, it's after we seek him that he shows up. It says he's ever-present. So even as you're going through whatever it is you're going through, God is right there with you. He never left. He's right there by your side. Amen? He's our ever-present help in trouble. I don't have to go far to find him. He's right there with me. David says in another place in Psalm, says, I have kept the Lord at my right hand. As a result of that, I will not be shaken. Amen? I'm holding on to God no matter what. That God has got your back. The last several days have been very challenging for many of us. Several of us in the last 2 weeks have lost a loved one. It's been tough. My heart goes out to you. My wife and I pray for you every day that God will comfort you, that your God will give you peace, will give you peace that transcends all understanding. But we've got to make sure that even as we're going through all this stuff, we don't question the Almighty. Amen? And I love the second part of this passage in verses 7 and 11. He says, the Lord Almighty is with me. I personalized it. The God of Jacob is my fortress. Amen? The Lord Almighty is with me. The God of Jacob is my fortress. I love Psalm 91 verse 1. It says in the Amplified, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? And so, brothers and sisters, hold on to your faith. If you really think about it, that's all we've got. We've never seen God before, but we know he exists. We've never been to heaven, but we know that's where we're heading when we leave this place. Amen? It's all by faith. And I know some of you in here, you've been studying the Bible for a while. My question to you again is very simple this morning. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting to see something visible before you decide to obey what God has asked you to do? And that is to make Jesus Lord of your life, to repent of your sins, that is to turn around, and then to get baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That is what this church teaches, because that's what the Bible teaches. And we are not going to compromise on that. Now, before you make that decision, you need to seriously count the cost. You need to really consider what you're getting yourself into. That's what the scriptures teach, amen? But I'm asking you, what are you waiting for? You are not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not. You're not guaranteed next week. So go ahead and obey God. Go ahead and put your faith in this God. And I promise you, God will not disappoint you. You know, all of us in this room, we're all on this journey called the Christian life. When we repented of our sins, God forgave all of our sins. And like we just sang this morning, the blood of Jesus washed everything away. And then he put his Holy Spirit inside of us. And it is that Holy Spirit that helps you and I to live this Christian life. I couldn't do it on my own. I don't have that kind of power. But I've got Holy Spirit power. You have Holy Spirit power. And that's what's helping us stay on this straight and narrow path. Amen? And so I'm saying, get your act together. Get into the scriptures. Get some conviction. Because one day, the angel of death is going to come for you. The angel of death is going to come for me. My day is coming. Your day is coming. Amen? But brothers and sisters, God will use every situation to help you understand him better. That's what this is about. Again, I don't know what struggles you're going through this morning. I don't know what hardships you're going through. All I know is when I'm going through some really, hard stuff, man, I get on my knees, I'm crying out to God. Those are the times I've drawn closer to God, even as I make this walk. It's always during those challenging times, because those challenging times drive me to my knees. Because I know I have nowhere else to turn. Amen? I mean, I wasn't surprised by the story that Michael and Lizette were sharing this morning about money. That's the way God works. When they obeyed God, God says, you know what? Let me send you something in the mail. Okay? And that's cool. That is so cool. I had something similar happen. When I filed my taxes, somebody mentioned to me about something that I needed to apply for because, we no longer have kids or whatever. And so I did. And I forgot about it. And so the other day, I also got a check in the mail. From the New York Tax Revenue Office or whatever they call themselves. I was like, ooh, this is nice. Thank you, Jesus. But God's got your back. Joanne was telling me the other day, she's been looking for work now for quite some time. Now she's got a job. I'm thankful for that. She's been praying and going on interviews. God says, I got you. And now she has another job. And I'm thankful for that. But if you ask her, man, she was praying. He drew her closer to God, amen? And so the question, brothers and sisters, this morning is this. Are you using and applying the faith you already have? That's the question. Are you using and applying the faith you already have? Very quickly, four reasons to trust God. Number one, he knows better than we do. Okay, and I've given you just one reference over there. He knows better than we do. Number two, there's a typo right there. All things are possible with God. Okay? It should read, all things are possible with God. Even preachers make mistakes. Number three, he is worthy of our trust. And again, these are just scripture references. You can go cross-reference them. Proverbs 3 talks about how you and I should not lean on our own understanding. And then finally, number four, he knows what he's doing. All you need to do is read Genesis 1. And like you've heard me say before, he didn't consult us before he did all that. Because I believe if he did, we'll be telling him what to do. You know, in Luke 18, verse 8, it says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When Jesus said this, he hadn't died yet. And it could apply to right after his resurrection. Because right after his resurrection, you go read the account. They were all doubting. It wasn't just Thomas. It says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When he comes back the second time, what you and I call the second coming, he's asking the same question. Will he find faith on the earth? Notice, he doesn't say, will he find large churches? He says, will he find faith on the earth? Amen? That is why this is so important. That as we live this life, we live by faith and not by sight. That we continue to walk by faith and not by sight. Because brothers and sisters, you and I know that heaven is our ultimate destination. Amen? For us, the other side is our heavenly show. Now for Jesus, when he told them, hey, let's go to the other side, he meant a physical leg. But for us, the other side for us is our heavenly show. Amen? And I'm saying to you this morning, Jesus is in the boat right with you. You remember how Matthew 28 ends? It says, I will be with you always. And to the very end of the age. Amen? So we're going to go through storms in this life. We're going to go through challenges in this life. So again, this morning, I have no idea what you're going through. But I know God is going to take care of you because he loves you and he cares about you. And because Jesus is in the boat with you. Amen? And so hang in there, no matter what. We're going to arrive safely on the other side one day. Amen? I want to read a passage to us. And this is the way I'm going to end my lesson. In 2 Timothy, chapter 4. Beginning verse 6. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I got a phone call this morning on the way to church. And I got on the phone and I called Chip Mitchell. Chip Mitchell is the evangelist of our church in Philadelphia. And he sent a sister right over to check on our brother. Our brother Sean Stanbeck has gone home. He was just here last week, seated right there. As if God knew he was going to take him today. And he came here last week to say bye to us. He was an incredible man of God. Imani has been informed. His grandmother and their family have been informed. Let's be praying for the family. But he's gone to receive the goal of his faith. He's no longer in pain. I'm still in shock. He was a wonderful guy. He really was. I know plans are going to be made in the next several days. I believe he said he wanted to be brought back to Brooklyn. So his funeral will take place here. And obviously we'll be there as a church to support the family. But he walked with his God till the very end. And so brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what you're going through. I'm appealing to you. Just hang in there. One day all this suffering and all these trials and all these headaches will be over. Amen. In Isaiah 57 verse 1, the Bible says, "The righteous perish, and no one takes it to heart. The devout are taken away, and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Those who walk uprightly enter into rest. They find rest as they lie in death. May the soul of our dear brother, Sean Stanbeck, rest in peace."